This is The Platform Rules, digital transformation for product companies, hosted by Propel Software. Sustainability initiatives are only as effective as the company's commitment to drive change. Michelle Stone, a 25-year veteran of the PLM industry, has seen time and again what it takes for these initiatives to succeed and what challenges can get in the way. Let's dive in.
Michelle, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. So today we're going to talk about sustainability, which is increasingly becoming important for manufacturers and product companies. We've brought in somebody who's got a lot of experience. So why don't we start with your background? Just give us a brief overview of what you've done and why you know so much about sustainability.
All right. Well, brief, that's always a challenge with me, but I'll try to keep it brief. So I've been in this space, in this, product development space for coming up on 25 years. Most of my experience has been, working with customers that are, implementing these enterprise solutions to help them, get their product development better. I've worked for 6 different PLM companies, which sounds kind of bad, but I would like to just say a lot of that's just from mergers and acquisitions and playing follow the leader, where I've gone to other companies to work for particular individuals. So again, that's my background. And I really became very interested in the intersection between sustainability and, environmentalism and all of that for my personal life. I saw the intersection of that with my professional experience when I was at a company that, had a program around trying to get, companies in the clean tech, green tech space tools to help them, help them do better. So I did a lot of work for several years in that. And that really kind of sparked my interest of, that intersection between what I care about and I'm passionate about personally and how the space that I work in intersected and how I could leverage that knowledge. So, from there, working on that program, the company I worked for started the foundation. And I think that was really impactful to me from my extracurricular activities at work, where I got to lead impact teams and then continue that work doing, pro bono PLM consulting for customers that were, trying to make the world a better place. The CEO at that company would often talk about, making the world better. And it wasn't just lip service. It was, putting in that commitment to, to giving the technology to companies trying to make things better. And then so that's one area of it. And on the flip side, you have this concept of, companies that, maybe they're not in that space, but they have sustainability goals and initiatives that are coming down. How can they use these enterprise software programs that are really centered around process? How can they use them to, for their sustainability initiatives?
Okay. So thanks for the overview. I want to come back to the 6 PLM companies. I like how you tried to get out of it by saying some of that was because of acquisitions. I think you're just a glutton for punishment. I'm going to come out and say it. I think that's the record of the people that that we've interviewed. I don't think anybody has worked for 6 PLM companies.
Right. Well, and again, I think, I say that too. I mean, I always like to say, if you look on LinkedIn, my tagline is I'm passionate about PLM process and problem solving. I never got the note to avoid alliteration always, but it's very sincere. I've always been a process person. My background is, undergraduate, I studied mathematics and physics, but then went back to school for computer science. So I think I've always been a fan of process. And I know some people think PLM is boring, but I'm here to dispel that notion and say it's really exciting. I've stayed in the industry for so long because I really believe that these solutions make a difference and they can make a difference in our world. So that's kind of my reason for reaching out and saying, hey, I'm new to Propel. What are you guys doing about sustainability? What do you care about? Because it's important to me.
Okay, so let's dig into this. So, you mentioned, again, just the career progression and the history here. How have you seen sustainability change? How is the market view of sustainability and how product companies are approaching it? How has that evolved over your time in the industry?
Yeah, so I think, there's parts of it that have always been on people's radar. When you think about compliance, REACH and RoHS and making sure you're using, components in your product that meet needs. But those needs are growing. It's going beyond just, those and conflict minerals. It's evolving more into, recyclability and hazardous materials. And I think that's become even more important, when you talk about supply chain, more and more companies are going out out and doing, you know, contract manufacturing, and they're sourcing their components, they're sourcing that information. So it comes down to how can your solution, your PLM solution, how can that help? Like, you know, we can talk about different personas. As a product manager, I'm always thinking about personas. So let's think about the persona of a BOM manager. How can they use these tools to make more informed decisions? And that's a lot of different aspects to that. Is it material selection? Is it designing with recyclability in mind? If you're, we'll put on our procurement persona hat, you know, what can we do, you know, from a carbon footprint standpoint? Where are we sourcing? You know, what suppliers are we using?
Okay. But now, what though ultimately is driving this? I mean, is it government regulations that are evolving? Is it customer preferences? Is it an economic reason? Like, it is a lot of change. So what is driving ultimately this big push? Because again, I don't recall hearing so much about sustainability even 10 years ago. Today, it seems to be front and center.
Yeah. Great. And yeah, I can dig into some of that. And again, I'll preface it, you know, I'm not an expert in this field. I'm just kind of grassroots interest. So, you know, I'll refer to some of the standards. You know, there's a lot of information out there. I will call out, you know, a lot of my deeper involvement started, I don't know, maybe, you know, 6 years ago, I joined the PLM Green Global Alliance. It's a group on LinkedIn. You know, and they're really, you know, it's a community of PLM professionals that really are, you know, educating and advocating for a sustainable, low carbon circular economy. I did read that off their website just because I don't want to paint them in the wrong light. But I had some interactions with, you know, the people that started that group, and I love it as a resource. So, yeah, I've worked for six different companies, but for me, that's not so as important, as these are matters that issue to everybody. So, you know, try to, you know, educate. And I think a lot of it comes down to, like, why do customers care about this? Well, sure, part of it is regulations. They have to, right? You know, they have these initiatives. And again, look out there. You know, they'll talk about what those are, you know, in greater detail. But, you know, you go into thinking about, you know, back in 2015, a lot of this movement came around, you know, the UN issuing these sustainable development goals. So you'll hear about, and you also hear about, you know, our industry is wrought with alphabet soup, right? And I always try to make sure I spell out any of the TLAs, that's three-letter acronyms that I use. But, you know, those SDGs that came down from the UN, and then there's this concept of ESG goals, that's environmental, social, and governance. You know, there's more, you know, regulation around product development. So there's a push to, you know, for a long time, it's been, you know, doing your development with, you know, design for manufacturability, design for profit, but you also have to think about design for sustainability. And so I think that's one of the areas where there are a couple areas here. One is, you know, on the engineering side, are you picking the right materials? Are you thinking about, you know, I did a lot of work with generative design at the previous company. Are you thinking about, and to keep in mind, generative design isn't just lightweighting, it's also part consolidation. Are you thinking about how can you recycle these materials? So it's not just designing for manufacturability and designing for profitability, but you really have to think about designing for sustainability. Because again, it's, you know, there's so many regulations and goals, and I just like to believe that, you know, companies want to do the right thing. And, you know, another aspect that we haven't talked to, we kind of talked about the engineering side, but, you know, our area in this space is, you know, broader than just engineering. It also takes in, you know, what they call, you know, concept to customer, used to be cradle to grave, you know, all of those aspects, not just engineering, but, you know, thinking about, you know, supply chain, you know, we touched on that a little, and also thinking about, you know, packaging. You know, how are you getting your products to your customers? There's some little tidbits we can share more later, but.
Yeah, so you're going down a path. I do want to come back to this design for sustainability, packaging, concept, like the things that you're talking about. I want to circle back, but before we do, I want to go back to SDG and ESG. So for me, as you're talking about SDG, that sounds like regulatory driven, government driven, and ESG, at least in my opinion, it's always felt like it's been more consumer driven. It's consumers that are asking for this, and companies are bringing ESG guidelines to their day to day because their customers are ultimately demanding it. Is that the case? I mean, do you think that that's right? Do you feel like there is a little bit of a push and pull from both the government and consumer side, or is it entirely driven by one versus the other?
I think it's definitely both. I mean, the SDGs, those are your must-dos. I think the ESG goals, those are, it's no longer a nice to have. It's, you know, customers are asking for it. They're wanting to, you know, they want to know that the companies that they're dealing with. And I think as a consumer, right, like we'll just step away from PLM in general, but as a consumer, you start to demand these things. You know, I was pretty happy to see Costco change their packaging. You know, as a consumer, I'm willing to spend a little more for a shoe made out of, you know, 3D printed recyclable material because I like investing in that and knowing, you know, kind of the company, you know, what they're talking about. And you'll even see it now as a consumer, as you shop, if you go onto anybody's website, they'll talk about what they're doing, not just from like product development companies, but just any company. They know that the consumer cares about it. So I think, you know, sometimes they call it greenwashing, but I think the fact that they're even thinking of it and talking about it is important. So even if they're just putting up a web page that says sustainability, you're going to have individual contributors like me that are going to say, well, put your money where your mouth is. How are we as a company really meeting these needs?
So I do want to dig in a little bit to what we're talking about. When sustainability is driven by regulatory, say in the case of SDG, versus when it's driven by consumers, by the people who are ultimately voting with their wallets, it seems to be that the regulatory driven is almost always a cost, but when it's consumer driven, it's actually a revenue driver. And again, this is just my impression because we see companies coming to us looking to improve their sustainability practicing and their audit so that they can prove that, because it does become something that their customers value, or it already is something that their customers value, and it becomes a revenue driver. Is that the right way to look at it? Is that how you see it as well?
Yeah, I think, well, again, you know, the SDG goals are the things that you're going to do because you have to do. And then in terms of, you know, when you start thinking about other ways of, you know, designing and manufacturing and packaging, and, you know, those can become, you know, can help with your profits. You know, you go back, a lot of people talk about circular economy, right? And again, you know, think about that, you know, what goes into the product, and then how do you reuse that material to reduce your material costs? I like to think, you know, sometimes people talk about circular economy as the old school, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. And they're in that order for a reason. And to be honest, I think, you know, something, you know, we talked about, like, you know, why I'm passionate about sustainability and how it relates to my personal life. You know, I started a green team, you know, at my kids' elementary school, simply because I see it's important to, you know, bring these concepts in at a young age. So as they get out into the workforce, they care about them. But again, you know, that circular economy, if you can think about, you know, reduction, again, you know, back to that, you know, designing for sustainability, you know, you get an impact of, you know, material costs can go down. And then, you know, you're talking about, you know, reusing or serviceability is a component as well, right? The longer you can keep a product in the ecosystem, the better. So if you're designing for that and you're thinking about, you know, things like part consolidation, or, you know, is it easier to get in and fix and swap out versus putting things in the landfill? You know, there's a whole, you know, thoughts about, you know, right to repair, and that's a whole separate conversation. But again, I think, you know, those are driven more by those ESG type initiatives that help with the profitability. Yeah. And that's where, you know, again, PLM can be aided, because, you know, can aid in that in terms of, you know, do you have those checks and balances in? Like, do you have, when you're doing your NPI, NPD, and again, alphabet soup, you know, new product introduction, new product development, can you work in some of those goals that you have as a company with, you know, those ESG initiatives and the regulatory initiatives in mind? Can you put that in your planning, you know, when you're looking at your product portfolio and what you're going to work on? And again, that's tying back to, you know, kind of the profitability. But that's where one way I see, you know, the area that I work in, and then the sustainability part that I'm passionate about, where I see those coming together, you know, can you templatize? Can you make sure that information is in there as a company, you know, for your quality processes? You know, you're doing your supplier audits or your supplier assessments, you know, can you, you know, put that sustainability lens on it? And I think that's where it comes in together.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're the second guest who goes down this path. Kevin O'Mara with 0100 participated in Propulsion earlier this year. And one of the things he discussed was, when you bring best practices and efficiencies to your quality processes, and one of the specific items he discussed was when you connect your demand signals directly to your supply chain, Now, when you're doing things more efficiently, there's less waste, there's less recall, you're ordering the right things. It's a sustainability play. So most companies are doing this because it is going to have a positive impact on the bottom line. But when they're doing it right, it's not just that impact on the bottom line, it's also sustainability. So the alignment here was great. It's just something that I never put two and two together myself. And the fact that somebody like yourself, who has a lot of experience in sustainability, is going there as well, it just reinforces that doing one really does impact both your bottom line as well as your sustainability just efforts. So just
interesting.
Well, go ahead.
That's something I just thought of. I hadn't really thought of too much before. But again, you know, think about, you know, the impact of a change, right? So, you know, you're a company and, you know, you've got your product out to market and there's a reason for a change and you do your due diligence. We'll throw some more acronyms in because you have to. You do your ECR and your ECO, engineering change request, engineering change order. A big component of that is doing that impact analysis of what is this cost going to change? Or what is this change going to cost? And so you start looking at, well, what inventory do you have on hand? You know, do you scrap it? Do you rework? You know, some of those decisions that go into product development, again, having a system in there, you know, to track that. And then from a sustainability perspective, you know, maybe you have that as one of your, you know, both in the initial, you know, analysis of the change, and then also in the, you know, in the change implementation task, like what are you going to do to make this change happen? You know, having better tracking of that and the traceability and the auditability of that. I think that's another area that, I mean, I know for me, the research projects I've done in sustainability at prior companies mostly have, part of it has been around like the component engineering, you know, side of it, you know, with the supply chain, because there's a lot you can do to make your supply chain more sustainable. You know, you think about your procurement or your operations, and then also, you know, what do you do at retirement? And then again, just having a system for that collaboration and communication. So, but yeah, it just, yeah, when you're talking, I was like, yeah, well, change management is another area where this is so critical. Because again, if you're, yeah, we'll put on my change analyst hat, you know, if I'm going and I'm looking at a proposed change, I have to think about, just outside of engineering, you know, I need to think about inventory. I need to look into ERP, enterprise resource planning. I feel like if I don't specify an acronym, that I'll get a slap on the wrist. So yeah, but again, taking all of those into account, I mean, I think is important. And that's where these solutions can help you as a company with your product development and, you know, putting that sustainability lens on it. You know, the thing is, you probably already have these tools in place. It's just leveraging them in a different way or putting a little more process around it, I think is important. You know, and again, I've worked for six PLM companies, you know, all of them have, you have that ability to do, you know, that change management tracking. You have that ability, you know, when you're a BOM, you know, in your, you know, engineering department with your, when you're reviewing a BOM and looking at your make buy decisions, you know, you have that there. You also have that concept of, you know, traceability with, you know, if you do have a QMS system as well. Yeah. So I think, I mean, a lot of times, you know, when I worked on the previous project and when I was thinking about what we would talk about here, because it's relevant to some work I'm doing as well, is, you know, make buy, right? You know, customers, you know, they have their make workflows, right? You know, design with sustainability in mind, you know, to go back to, you know, this depends on what you select for materials, you know, thinking about, you know, the life of the product. The statistic that I've seen thrown around a bunch of times from several different companies is, you know, 80% of the environmental impact is determined during the design stage. So it's really important that you think about this early on. Like, you know, it can't just be an afterthought. It's not something that comes later. So I think that's one thing to keep in mind is, you know, can you use these systems to think about these green requirements earlier in the development cycle is really important.
So is that the biggest change, is bringing design for sustainability and addressing these early in the product lifecycle? You mentioned the tools are already there. The capabilities to do this is there. So is the big change just a change in how companies approach the design phase to bring the sustainability impact in earlier in the design process?
Yeah, I think that's where they have to go in order to meet, you know, both the regulations and, like you said, the customer appetite for this is, you know, we were discussing earlier the impact on a change, you know, this week, you know, change is less expensive early, right? It's same thing with design. If you think about the impact the sustainable impact of a product, the earlier you think about it, the better it can be. So I think people are aware of that. And that's when, you know, if you go and you read a lot of the research and the things that people are talking about, they're often talking about that, you know, think about it earlier, you know, think about it with your requirements, right? Like when you're in your product definition phase, think about what requirements are important in that and tracking that, keeping that in mind.
Well, I mean, if 80% of the environmental impact is going to be decided in the design phase, there's no way to make up for that if you don't get the design phase right.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just mathematically impossible. Exactly. Okay. All right. So design for sustainability, big change. What other big changes have you seen in terms of how companies are addressing their own sustainability efforts?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I wish I remembered where I read this. I think part of it is, you know, and again, going back to getting in there early, getting, you know, people to care about it is, you know, I've read about like this gamification approach of, you know, how do you, you know, can you get your engineers to see the impact of the design decisions that they make? There's something else I read about recently with a, you know, a company in, you know, Germany. They have these regulations around, you know, reducing their packaging and, you know, having it, you know, shipping things out and asking for the containers back, and people weren't doing it. So they started doing a deposit. You know, I'm out here in Oregon and we've had the deposit on our cans forever, but little things like that that companies can do that just try to get people to think about sustainability are important.
Okay. I like the gamification angle. That always makes it fun. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. As I said, I've been a big fan of gamification in LMSs, learning management systems, for a while. As I mentioned, I'm new to Propel, so I'm going through like the Salesforce training, and I think they have it down in terms of, you know, the badges and the profiles. And I remember when I went back to work, so I took some time off when my kids were little. And when I came back to work for a PLM company, this is, you know, not cloud-based or not, you know, like, you know, some systems had like, you know, proprietary scripting languages. Now, when you're in cloud solutions, you have, you know, different methods available. And for this particular solution, because I didn't have access to the database anymore because it was in the cloud, their scripting engine was JavaScript. And I hadn't touched JavaScript in, I'll age myself here, like 15 years at the time. Like I learned it in school, but hadn't used it because I had used, you know, other scripting languages. And there was a great platform called Code Academy, and it was great. Like even, you know, I guess that was about, I don't know, 12 years ago, that concept of learning something new and gamifying it. So I love that concept of thinking about, well, how can we gamify this for these, you know, component engineers and design engineers that they're thinking about sustainability? How can we do it for, you know, our change analysts that, hey, if we make the decision to rework the design and use up inventory rather than scrapping it all, what's that impact? So I think that's something I'd love to see us get to, you know, especially, gamification is fun. I like earning all my badges. So.
Yeah. Everybody does. It's funny, even if they don't admit it. Okay. So kind of one of the final areas I want to get into is something you mentioned. You know, you said that the tools are all out there. And you also talked a little bit about going from, you know, an on-prem solution to a cloud solution. I want to talk a little bit about the difference between the haves and the have-nots. And just based on what you've shared, I feel like there's almost a matrix I'm going to try to draw out there. You have the companies that have the right solutions and have the will to you know, to implement the right processes. You have companies that don't have the right solutions, but have the will. So I'm wondering, you know, what are the challenges those companies are going to have? And then maybe you have the company that have the solutions, but don't have the will, don't have the know-how. And then the last one is they don't have the solutions and they don't have the will. Like, let's just forget about those. Let's not worry about those. Let's worry about the two in the middle. So what do you think, you know, the challenges you're going to have if you want to do this, but don't have a modern solution in place? Let's start with that category.
Yeah. Well, again, I think, you know, with all the regulations coming down and the demand for it, you're going to have to, you know, use a tool. I think that, again, it's just that, you sometimes need those things to meet your needs. You know, I mean, I love Excel. It's great to a point. You know, sometimes you have to look for other solutions. So, you know, in things I've done in the past, at some point you outgrow it and you need to invest in an enterprise solution to make sure everybody's on the same page and you're tracking and you're measuring, because the regulations are going to demand that, you know, especially with auditing. And then, so I kind of got off track. I was thinking about, you go from, Excel's really limited, and then you move to something like Airtable. I'm not going to talk about PLM. I'm just talking about in general process tools. You move to Trello or Airtable or Asana. You work in those tools where you have the collaboration and the tracking. So I think, companies are seeing that in other parts of their business. So hopefully they'll be able to make those investments in their product development part of the business.
But I mean, and just to be even a little bit more blunt, you mentioned auditing. Is auditing next to impossible if you don't have your supply chain digitized and everything? I mean, ultimately, an audit can be considered a tax, right? It's something that takes away from your day-to-day in order to see that you are meeting regulatory requirements. We see the difference between the companies that have something that's fully digitized and those who don't. But I'm wondering if we'd reach the point to where it's impossible to do an accurate audit and complete audit without having this digital trace in terms of where your components are coming from and your practices upstream. Is that the case?
I think so. Yeah. Again, I've heard, success stories. Yeah. I've attended lots of conferences over my years, and I always love hearing from customers, and I love hearing where they come in and they're like, our auditor comes in and they see we have these systems in place, and, it makes their jobs easier, and, they're able to prove it. And again, like you said, that, an audit is a tax. It takes you away from doing the work you want to do. I know some people feel that way about using these enterprise solutions. So when I was a technical evangelist and cheerleader for PLM, I loved going in after a rollout and, showing people on the shop floor or, in departments, hey, like, look how easy it is. You're working on the right rev because you have it in the system here. And I have some success stories here. I did a rollout in 2004. I mentioned I stayed home. I went back to that same company in 2011. And in 2004, they're grumbling, oh, we have to get this new system. This, we've been doing it this way forever. And then you come back in 2011, they're like, yeah, this is great. And we want to do this and we want to do that. And I think that's coming down to people who, the second part of your question, people who already have these systems but don't have those processes in place. You do, think about those opportunities that you have that you can embed some of these important concepts around sustainability right into your tool set already. So I think they're in a good spot, right? It's just but it does take time. So I think, one of the things I think about from a product perspective and working for a software vendor, and what can we as a team do to make it easier for our customers? What can we deliver in terms of product capabilities or in terms of templates? Because a lot of times these things are just give them the best practice, a place to start. That's where I think, the difference when you have a having worked on on-premise and cloud, I think it's a lot easier to be able to, deliver somebody kind of like their here's your best practices baked right in.
Okay, excellent. Well, we've got time for one last question. So let's come back to, if you're a product company and you're either new to the solution that you're using, or you have the solution and you're new to the process that you're adjusting, what advice would you give them on how to just do the best job with their sustainability efforts? What do you think they should look for, and what are the pitfalls they should avoid?
Yeah, there's a lot packed in that. I'm a big fan of, don't reinvent the wheel, look at what's out there. There's a lot of frameworks that are out there, to help companies, around this. So, as you have your strategy and you need to execute on it, take a look at those frameworks that exist. I'm a big fan of the shopping cart approach, where I might look at several different frameworks and come up with my own, or, if you're an existing company, look at some of those, look for help, right? Outsource. And again, some of that is just, talk to your, customer success manager, and, talk to the teams and say, hey, or go on to the community. I'm a big fan of community, and there's communities out there all over the place, right? There's probably a community with whatever software you're working on. There's a community, like I mentioned, the PLM Green Global Alliance. You get a lot of content there with best practices, but, talk to your fellow customers or your fellow people in industry. I used to love working with, like our customer advisory board, like CAB events, where you get a lot of customers together and, learn from one another. So I think that's one thing I would say is, I'm sure whatever you're working on, there's a community out there, leverage them and ask and see how other people are doing it and get some advice rather than trying to do everything from scratch. I mean, reduce, reuse, recycle, right? So, recycle something somebody else is doing, right? Reduce your workload, reuse it.
Words to live by. I think a lot of people out there can relate to that. If somebody's already done it, learn from them. And I know just from my own experience, a lot of times asking for advice from others, they're happy to give it. So I think that's great advice. All right. That's all the time we have, though, for today. Michelle, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming here and sharing these insights. We really appreciate the time you spent with us today. Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelsoftware.com/podcasts. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcasts@propelsoftware.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.